down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hi, good morning, Ellis.
Hi, morning.
Yeah, well, the last caller, he would have mentioned a lot of what I really wanted to mention. And, you know, I'm going to say this is my first time, I guess, in so many years calling the call-in program. And I just wanted to put my 2 cents worth. And I strongly believe that there's a big mistake in closing those small variety shops in the village. I can say to you, me personally, I'm in my early 50s. In the last shutdown for those 3 months, I have never been to a supermarket. I would have picked up all of my groceries at the small village shop, a small mini mart, because I think there's more danger in asking people to travel on the bus, to leave home, to line up in the supermarkets and these establishments. And the same concerns you have at the establishment, the small village shops, as we call them, you have the same issues at the big supermarkets, mini mart, and so on. And David, let me just say this, right? Something I saw yesterday at a major supermarket. 2 things. One yesterday and one today. You had a situation where a gentleman with one leg came to go in the supermarket, and the person there who were put in charge of managing the line asked that gentleman to go to the back of the line and stand up and wait. Mm-hmm. And that hurt me. You understand? And these are the kind of things that would happen to older people, some people who can't really get around as they would like, because they're just accustomed coming out, going to the shop, pick up their couple of items, and go back home. Today, a supermarket again, you know, they have the to read your temperature now, they're using these ones that you put your forehead to it. And this lady, she's not tall enough to reach it. And she asked the lady if she can use her wrist, use some other way. She tried everything to reach it. She cannot reach it. She had to end up leaving the supermarket. So these are, when you put things in place, you must also look at the alternative for the person who might not be that tall. They have what we call midgets living too. Mm-hmm. These people have to live too. They have people with disabilities who's going to come there in a wheelchair who cannot get up. So you got to put things in place for everybody. And that goes back again to the small shops. They're not everyone who wants to get on a bus and travel out to their village to head down to a supermarket.
Okay. So I thought that the access to the village shop was something that worked well the last time we shut down. They're saying basically what makes the difference is the variant and the highly contagious nature of it. And they don't want people liming and that sort of thing in those areas. One suggestion that has come to us is if you're worried about alcohol and people, men, hanging around because of that, why not ban the sale of alcohol so that people will be able to get to the small shops nonetheless, and you wouldn't have to put people at risk by forcing them to have to go to the supermarkets. And then, you see, there's this undercurrent too, always, that the government has to face, and it is the notion of us and them, that big players seem to get attention and are able to get what they want, and small people have to go through something completely different. And that is that's always at work, especially when you're dealing with the government. So I think that there may be some merit in looking at that particular idea, because the small shops have worked not only for the people who are within the shops who run them, but it worked in the past for the people who live in the communities as well, and everything at the supermarkets, you know.
Right, but when you take away the small shops and you take away the vendors, and I'm speaking about the people who sell all the vegetables, the ground provision that we go and buy. I'm not going in the supermarket and buy yam at $8 and $9 a pound when I can get it at my vendor for $3.50 or $4.
Yes.
And you put in, you're making it even harder for the poor, for the most vulnerable, the people who don't have. And when you come down, I'm going to touch on this too, talking about care packages and so on. You had a situation last time around where these vouchers and so on got into the wrong people's hands. People were walking around selling them. You know, so you have they don't reach the people who they're really supposed to reach. And I'm saying these things should be taken out of the actual political hand of the representatives. They have a part to play too, yes. But there are NGOs, there are different organizations out there who would go there and reach people not on a political side. Because when you put these things into these people's hands, they deal too much about who wear red and who wear blue and who wear pink. And this is not a time for that. You know, and I get very emotional when it comes to some things, and I got
clearly a bit. Right. The shops act, as I understand it, and as I'm advised, it does not make any distinction between small shop, supermarket, big shop, micro, mini mart, nothing. They are all classified as shops.
We want to work together. As you rightfully say, we have to work together to come out of this and then to build out our economy and move forward. We have to.
But we need to be conscious. We all need to be conscious of that important message that this thing is highly contagious. So, you know, even if the government has
Just let me touch on this. When you put more people to head in, let's say you use Christchurch, and you're going to ask nearly the whole of Christchurch now to find yourself at Popular, Massey, Austin's, Trimark, and Big B, four major supermarkets in that area. Price low to a lesser extent. That can't work. It can't work. I have to be able to go at Miss Brown and Miss Jordan. I will be able to drive it to Fair Valley and go at Miss Jones, because Ellis, I can tell you, the last time I traversed Barbados on my day to shop, and I find my way into small shops and mini mart, because I know there are people who still sell my potatoes, and I can get pound onions and 2 pounds of potatoes.
This person wants you to know though that men on the block buy drinks from the little shops and pile the bottles around the same shop doors. And during lockdown, men get rum in ginger beer bottles or rum in quart bottles, and gin and vodka in tonic water bottles. So this person is essentially saying that people will try to circumvent the rules those circumstances, and that's what they are worried about.
Let me teach this person some knowledge, because they don't know what they're talking about. It's better for me to go in the supermarket, because I can get 2 bottles of vodka for the one that I can get inside the shop now and still carry it out and put it in any bottle. So it don't make a difference. You can't stop a rum drinker from getting rum, and the supermarket open, he will even be happier because you can get more rum. So that ain't going to solve the problem. Solving the problem is if you decide that we go back to what we had, you cannot learn, you can't gather in 10 or 5. Around the businesses. If you come and find people gathering outside the business and they ain't social distancing, you do what you're supposed to do. If you mean close them, but we are saying we have to stop looking at only the negative and look at the positive. You're going to allow those eat shops that got 4 or 5 rum drinkers to stop the another 70 or 80 people who live in the village from benefiting, and then put them at risk to ask them, as the gentleman said, to get in a minibus to go down to town to stand up in a line outside the Popular that running down to Candy Hill? No.
Okay. All right, sir.
So you got.
Thanks for your contribution. Dr. Brastax, hello.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Hi, David. This is Aline from the Sugar, and I can identify myself from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was minding my business, and I heard a caller calling, saying some things I felt we needed to respond to. But before I go there, what the gentleman just said is perfectly true. People will find a way. It's going to be really tough to enforce the closure of these small shops, and it's going to be tougher to restrict the sale of alcohol. Barbadians will find a way, just as they did in Prohibition. Actually, people get more desperate when you cut off the supply of what they like. And I still find that some of our people are not as serious as they may be or should be. I went for a walk this morning, just a lighthearted moment here, and they brought on three youngsters on a step. And they were laughing, no mask, they ended in the same house. I could tell you that for sure. They were puffing and passing. And you know what they were joking about? Then last day had something. I won't say what it was. And laughing, my tall boy, my lawyer, and happy, happy, happy. Because that is how they live their lives. And no amount of entreaties will change them. Just puffing and passing. Just after we were told how serious a situation we are in as a country. And look what they're discussing. Because that is what is important to them. When last they had certain things that probably they go for outside the curfew, or used to go for outside the curfew. Because that is the focus of some people. And don't care how you plead and beg. I don't know what it's going to take. The messaging can continue, and we can all do our part, but it's going to be really hard.
And that requires public policy. There are times when you have to actually do what has been done here, which is the lockdown concept, because there are so many people out there who function the way that you are saying those young men are behaving. I mean, I've noticed, for instance, that now that we have the curfew, you will see that between 8:30 and 9 o'clock, people scurrying to get to their various places. And then 9:30, 10 o'clock, people are hardly on the street because people conform. And that's because you have to put things in place at times. And if you don't, moral suasion is not enough.
But you see, that is where tough decision-making comes in. And you would have to ask yourself, are the policymakers, is government prepared to make those tough decisions? When the tourists were coming out of curfew or coming out of quarantine, some of these houses had private security guards. Now, if you work in for X amount, not implying that anybody is corrupt, I just painting a scenario for you. You are working for X amount. You hired at a villa or wherever to police the people who are paying you. What do you think will happen? We should have been more forceful in terms of ensuring that these people did not leave their places of quarantine. But they came home and they had a good time.
But I don't believe that that's the crux, the main factor that caused that. I felt that border control was the main issue. Because if the border control was adequate, then you would not have had to worry about these people coming in those circumstances. But anyhow, we passed that.
That is true, but I agree with you 100% because we were talking about closing the borders ever since, but the economic benefit was being looked at more so than the social and health issues.
You don't have to close the border to have better border control. You had to deal with the protocols and the quarantine period and stuff like that, which has not been adjusted at last.
But we didn't have the capacity to deal with the numbers coming in. There's the problem.
You said that
enforce protocols, but that was impossible. Mm-hmm.
Another point that you had raised. Because we're coming close to the news.
Right, you're coming close. This man calling about the former government. I look at the COVID virus structure and I don't see DLP or BLP on it. He said he wasn't calling or he wasn't speaking politics or talking politics. And then he went into a political campaign speech. And I wanted to say that one set of knowledge resides in any one set of people in any party. We are all Barbadians. And that is why you see all Barbadians now have been called upon to salvage this wreck. And I wanted to remind him that we have the best DeSantis lab, trained infectious disease specialists, and an infectious disease control unit, purpose-built Black McGullough School. All of these were built for eventualities like this, by the former administration, the silent government, saving the days of people like him. So this talk got to stop now. But you should be calling in and saying is how many masks he's stitching and he does come to help people, rather than lambasting the former government and talking about if they were in control, what would happen. That's irrelevant. Deal with what is happening now and deal with who is in control now and address the issues that are killing us. Because I'm telling you, it will kill us if it gets further out of hand.
The only observation I would make on that is that individuals have their subjective assessments of which political party or which political leader is better suited to the specific challenges that you face at a given point in time. And, you know, it is possible that whatever he saw as the failings of the former administration might have been corrected by the fact that they had a crisis of this nature. It might have brought them together to a greater degree. It is all a matter of conjecture. And the only thing that we know that we have right now is what confronts us today. And correct. As you said, we got to work with that. We got to recognize that mistakes have been made and will be made. The most important matter here, though, is that we need to have a government that is responsive to the people's comments and suggestions and stuff like that. At this stage, it appears to me as though the government listens. I mean, it has taken a long time to listen to what people were saying on this matter as it relates to some of the challenges at the border and stuff. But it has finally come around to dealing with that. And that's the most important part of it. Good afternoon and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, welcome.
Hi. Mr. Ellis, I heard an ad there from Digicel not long ago, before you all went to break. But I received a letter here stating that they are upgrading their broadband. But in the letter, the state that if you are not in agreement with it, that you can, within 30 days, you can feel free to change the plan to any plan that they have, and the state is a default, that you have been migrated to. So they say if you're terminating the plan that they are offering you right now, you have 30 days in which to do so. So I called the company. So I was discussing it with the young lady, and she is telling me that they are raising it because the only thing I have is Wi-Fi from them due to the school. And I had it a little before the schools were going online. So they changed it now from that time from $80 to $85, the added $5. Okay. That time it was working. I am not working now. And now I talked to the young lady. She is telling me that they are adding on $10 more on it. That is not fair. People are home due to this COVID thing. People are not getting reemployed. Some people are not going back out to work because then the workplaces are not opening back up. But they're adding $10 onto the Wi-Fi. And it is hard already paying $85. And now we've got to pay $95 for this. And I asked her if I can decline that offer that there. She's silent. She cannot answer me. I would like people to understand that people are seeing it hard and rough out here. Nobody ain't going to people crying because you may be crying to somebody that don't want to cry but would like to cry. And this also is not fair to people at all. I hear people saying that they're taking off this and that and the next and the third. But I only have one item from them. That is the Wi-Fi. And that is, I don't want to say the word they would like to say, but it's hard, it's rough. You can't pay the $85. How are you going to pay the $95? This is not good enough. I wonder what the Trading Commission does look into these kind of things. Because then we out here suffering to pay bills, to buy food, and they're trying to rip up that $10 out of your hand now. And you need it so that the children can go to school online. And if you don't pay that extra $10, they're going to cut it. And how your child going to go to school? They can't go to school because you ain't working. So how are you going to be able to pay $95 when it's hard to pay $85? They ain't even add on a $5, a whole big $10. And this CSO is so wrong. Did you say I need to get the acting in thing, though? And where is that people in Barbados don't should be paying so much Wi-Fi as them in other countries, and people paying a cheaper Wi-Fi than we here in Barbados? This is wrong. This is wrong. Somebody need to look into this. Wi-Fi in Barbados should not be so high.
Well, if you think that it begins and ends there, the commercial banks are reported to be contemplating increasing bank charges as well. At a time like this, there are so many people who would be greatly offended. But if you got this captive market and, you know, you enjoy what is seen as, what is, they call it an oligopoly, a group that then, a small group that will be able to control the market, then people do as they like. I understand that there is some attempt to try to see if this can be avoided, but we'll wait and see. They are going to argue that, you know, there are various reasons why they need to get an increase in fees, but at the end of the day, it is going to hurt a lot of people. I mean, people haven't been working and that sort of thing. There's got to be some approach that they can use to try to forestall that kind of increase in fees on people. And we need to be watching this across the board. It's not just the complaint that you have made against Digicel, but right across the board, you've got to be vigilant with how people are going to use the crisis as a means of trying to extract more from people, because they must be able to argue to their shareholders that they have been able to do well in spite of the pandemic. And that if Jeff Bezos and his people can make a killing, at least they can make something too. All right? That's the kind of argument that I expect.
Well, you're going to make a killing off a dead horse? This country is in crisis. People ain't working. How are you going to get the increase? And people cannot afford it. How are you going to get the increase? That is why people are taking off things off of the bill. Because then people can't afford everything that they are. You know what's paying $270? I hear a woman saying she's paying $270 to them. And she's going to go and get the TV taken off. And the phone. And all she wants is the Wi-Fi. So it ain't only hard on people that ain't working, it's hard on people that working as well. Because everybody don't work a whole week now. And they're not getting the amount of money they're accustomed to getting that they could afford what they was paying before. But they've got to realize that if they're doing these things to people, it's obvious people can cut what they have already. It won't be waste to keep them. Some people taking out the phones and just using the cell phones. And taking out the TV part away and getting a stick.
But they have to determine whether they are prepared to take that risk. Because it is a risk that the company is taking if it is pushing the costs above what people consider to be reasonable. And then what you can actually do is that you encourage people to go on the black market.
But that's what the people are doing now. They're doing that because then they have no other choice. And the company is just juking you further and further and further. So where's it going to get from, you know? They didn't even set a $5, but whole 10 is ridiculous.
All right, ma'am. Thanks for calling.
Commission this here.
All right. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Oh.
You're on the air. Yes, welcome.
Good afternoon, Miss Alice.
Hi.
Good afternoon to everybody. There's a perception out there by listening to certain people by traveling is that pertaining to the small businesses, the vendors, et cetera, small shops, the minister in charge gave out an email that these persons were probably saying, you know, the information pertaining to get some sort of assistance from the times that they will be off from the lockdown. But some persons are wondering how it is that you have other persons who pay, who we will call legally business vendors, pay a license fee. Are the persons who are still out there that having small businesses supposed to be not paying, haven't paid, never registered, vendors never registered. How is it going to work when these persons send, or would these persons be sending the minister an email about their businesses, but they never were registered?
Well, the whole idea, you could appreciate what this is about. It is trying to, you're setting.
Before you go too far, this call is about trying to assist those persons who are wondering, who are afraid, who don't know what to do. So if you take it in that context, it's not that I'm trying to crack down. I'm trying to put out there the persons who wouldn't or who are afraid, not knowing, if to send their information at this point in time to get assistance to survive or keep their head above the waters. This call is mainly about for those persons. So I'm not crying it down in the sense that it may sound, if you understand what I'm saying now.
You're seeking clarity.
Right. So basically, they want to know if they can still, because remember, they're vendors who are not registered, who don't have a license. They're small people who have businesses, as we know, some of them, but they were never registered. But, you know, they were collecting, you know, selling and, you know, doing what they were doing. So they just want to know if they can still or would be allowed or how would it work, you know, if they can send their information still to keep their head above the waters. Even small shops in the community, some of them, you know, maybe, you know, don't really have a license, you know, pay that type of way. So if you understand what I'm saying.
I've heard you. They have to answer that for you. I can't. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon. Could I speak to you off the air?
Off the air? No. Can't talk to me off the air, no, though. You have to talk to me off the air when the program is finished. Okay. That's the best I can do for you. It's 15 minutes after midday. Coming up at 12:30, we have the latest news. I see that Johnson & Johnson, they're saying that their single dose COVID vaccine is 66% effective. 66% isn't really seen as something that is significant. I mean, others have gone much further than that. So.